All right, so get this. A priceless Rembrandt vanishes. Gone.
Boof.
And not just any Rembrandt, right? This is his only seascape. The Storm on the Sea of Galilee.
Stolen in 1990.
Still missing.
It really makes you wonder, like, what did they know? The thieves skipped over other stuff, valuable stuff. Like, they were laser focused on this one painting.
Totally. But, okay, before we get all caught up in the heist part of it, let's actually talk about the storm itself, the artwork. This always gets me why, this scene.
Right, it's interesting, because you think Rembrandt, you think, like, serene, powerful Jesus, yeah.
Exactly.
So he throws us right into the thick of it. These disciples are panicking. Waves crashing, huge wave. I swear there's even a guy who looks seasick.
It's so immediate, you know. Like you said, not the usual religious art vibe at all.
And that's Rembrandt for you. Total genius. Because in all that chaos, Jesus, he's this calm center. Bathed in light.
It's that light and shadow thing he was obsessed with, right?
Oh, absolutely. Chiaroscuro, his signature. But here it's more than just technique. It's like he's highlighting the difference, the divine versus us humans freaking out.
Even the boat itself is kind of wild.
Right? Yeah, so it's a Hawker, common Dutch fishing vessel back then, 17th century. But Rembrandt, he wasn't just copying. He tweaks it. The mast is tilted more, makes it all seem even more, you know.
Chicarious.
Exactly. Like, yeah, it's a boat, but it's also this symbol, right? How fragile we are compared to nature's power.
Which, for the Dutch, the sea was their whole world, basically.
Right. Think about it. This is their golden age. They're trading all over, exploring, fighting wars at sea, even.
So a seascape isn't just pretty. It's like...
their lives laid bare on canvas.
Wow. It's funny, right? We say seascape, and we think, I don't know, peaceful. But this is the Dutch golden age we're talking about. Weren't seascapes a whole different thing back then?
Oh, yeah. Totally different. See, this shift is happening in art,
yeah.
Right? Away from the super religious and towards, I guess you'd say, the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Dutch, that meant the sea front and center.
They were basically running the seas at that point, right?
Global trade, exploration. Heck, they were fighting naval battles. So those seascapes, it's them bragging a little. Showing off the power, but also...
the danger.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you're a sailor back then, 17th century. Your life depends on the sea, good and bad. Then you see this storm on the Sea of Galilee, that chaos, you know it. But there's Jesus, calming it all.
It's like a reassurance, almost.
Right. And Rembrandt, he knew how to hit you with that.
Yeah.
That chiaroscuro we talked about. Jesus bathed in light, right in the middle of the storm. It's visual hope.
And hope for a nation built on the sea. That's powerful stuff.
Absolutely. So we've got this painting. Amazing art, reflects a whole culture, super valuable.
And someone swipes it, just like that.
1990. Two guys, dressed as cops, no less. Walk into the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Biggest art heist in U.S. history.
Dressed as cops? Seriously?
No joke. Overpowered the guards, cut the paintings right out of their frames, gone.
What'd they get besides the storm?
Let's see, a Vermeer, some Degas sketches, Manet. 12 pieces total. Worth half a billion at least.
Half a billion. Okay, you'd think with that kind of haul, they'd leave a note or something. Did they ever catch them?
That's the thing. No FBI's involved, leads all over, but
yeah,
nothing. Cold case.
Gets wilder though, right? I swear I heard somewhere.
Oh yeah, the rumors are insane. Mobsters, shady art deals, people saying the paintings were used as like bargaining chips in the underworld.
It's like a movie plot or something.
Totally. And the paintings, they're almost legendary now. Sightings, supposed deals.
Yeah.
But the real deal.
Whoa.
Vanished. Poof.
Almost makes the art itself even more intense to think about. You know, it's kind of poetic when you think about it. This painting, the storm on the Sea of Galilee, all that turmoil, you know, in the scene itself. And now the painting's gone. Like it got caught in a real storm.
Yeah, it's like life imitating art, but in a weird way. Makes you think, what happens to a masterpiece when it's just gone like that?
Huh.
Not in a museum, but maybe hidden in some private collection somewhere.
Or worse. Stuck in a vault, unseen for decades. Like if a tree falls in the forest and all that, if nobody can see this art, does it even, I don't know, does it have the same power?
It's a good question, right?
Yeah.
Makes you think about how we experience art, how much of it is the context, the access. But even if this Rembrandt is never found, the story doesn't really end.
Exactly. It's like proof that art keeps working on us, even when it's gone. This one painting sparks all this debate, intrigue. Centuries later.
And wouldn't Rembrandt have loved that? This guy painting about humans and their struggles, the power of nature, and then his work gets taken by surprise too.
A little ironic, you could say. Okay, so to wrap up, I think what gets me is We started with the stolen masterpiece, right? But we ended up going so much deeper. Rembrandt's genius, the whole Dutch Golden Age, those crazy art heists.
And through it all, the idea that art matters. These aren't just pretty pictures. They're reflections of us, how we saw the world, what scared us, what gave us hope, even hundreds of years ago.
So next time you're looking at some artwork, take an extra minute, yeah. Think about the artist, what was going on back then, the story behind it. Might surprise you what you find hidden in plain sight.
Absolutely.
That's a wrap on the Storm in the Sea of Galilee, everybody. Thanks for diving depth with us.